This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health and Living. It's our public health series, and today we're going to be discussing clinical trials. In particular, we have Dr. Akmal Yusof. He's the CEO of Clinical Research Malaysia, and we're going to be discussing whether Malaysia should encourage clinical research or not. With the current pandemic, we know there's been a lot of awareness or importance of conducting clinical research on vaccines, on drugs, in order to find safe and effective therapies to prevent and treat diseases. And Malaysia is involved in some key global trials, including the Solidarity Trial by the World Health Organization for COVID-19 treatment. Another notable global study led by Malaysia was the genetic study by Cancer Research Malaysia and the University of Cambridge on breast cancer risk among Asian women. So, but on the whole, how progressive are we in leading the way for clinical research in the region? Well, Dr. Akmal is here to tell us more. Welcome to the show, Dr. Akmal. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you very much for having me here.
You're most welcome. You know, Dr. Akmal, first of all, maybe you just want to quickly tell us what Clinical Research Malaysia does.
Right. Malaysia has been conducting clinical research for more than 20 years, and they are conducted in public hospitals, private and also universities. We have clinical research being conducted, but it's in a fragmented, processes. Therefore, in 2010, it needs to have a more systematic way, and that's where Clinical Research Malaysia comes in. It helps in terms as a one-stop center to bring in the sponsors to come in to Malaysia to conduct research, to find the right investigator for the right clinical research and the right sites. At the end of the day, it also improve the time in terms of conducting clinical research, reducing by 50% of the time that we conducted research in 2015 from 300 days to 150 days. Yeah. That's what we do in Clinical Research Malaysia, apart from promoting Malaysia as the center for clinical research.
When you say clinical research versus clinical trials, is it the same thing? Are we talking about the same thing?
It's the same thing. The only thing is that people are comfortable with trials, some are comfortable with research. Yeah, but when we talk about clinical trial and research in the human clinical trials, there are four different phases. First in human is phase one, and then there are phase two, three, and four, which is the post-marketing clinical research. Having said that, all this data from phase one to phase three are important in terms of getting any medication, any treatment being registered. They include all the preclinical research. And this is where we talk about research and development, where we recognize a compound in the discovery area and moving forward to the preclinical studies. Once it has been proven to be showing the hypothesis, it moves on to the human trials. And this is where, a lot of safety and efficacy needs to be proven before any medicine can be registered.
Even before it hits the shelves, isn't it?
It is.
But what are significant clinical research or trials that have been carried out in Malaysia?
There are many. A lot of it is oncology. But one that has been given a lot of change in how we practice in Malaysia is probably the hepatitis C. I think that has been one of the key landmark area in terms of getting new medicines to be treated in the patients where there is no treatment available. Apart from that, we have been involved in a lot of new development, like oncology for that matter, right from the targeted therapy right down to the immuno-oncology. And these are the type of medicine where it is impossible to get in the in the market, and some of them are still being researched. And because of this, those patients who has exhausted the standard therapy would be able to only assess this type of medicine through clinical trials. Mind you, not all can be enrolled in clinical research because there is a strict at rules and regulation in terms of getting patients into clinical trials.
How do we get involved?
Well, there are initiatives from Clinical Research Malaysia in our website to inform the members of the public not only why we should be part of clinical research. The way how I see it, it should be part of the treatment in terms of the managing of patients. Like I said earlier, those patients who has exhausted standard therapy, like oncology patients, what's next? It's clinical trials. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the data of clinical trials, we have it in our website. Those who wishes to look at it and to understand where are the research being conducted can easily register, and we will try to link the right clinical research, the right investigator sites with the patient self.
So do you need to go through your doctor or the hospital? Or
of course.
It's not like me writing in directly and saying, hey, you know, I would like to try this.
Of course. I mean, there are strict rules and regulations in terms of getting into clinical research. There's a methodology that actually what we call as select the right patients to be included in the clinical research. And they have to fulfill this criteria before they are embarked in the clinical research. And these are being done by the doctors or the clinical clinicians that is what we call as principal investigator of the clinical research.
You know, I would be afraid, Dr. Akmal, if you ask me very, very, very honestly, I would be afraid to be part of a clinical trial. I feel like I would be the guinea pig because there are chances that whatever it is that you're trying on me may not work. Or could even be fatal to a certain extent.
I totally agree with you. I mean, it's not like something that is coming in without any risk. Yeah. That's why clinical research in Malaysia is very highly regulated, not only in Malaysia, but also the wide world. It needs to be passing in terms of the National Pharmaceutical Regulatory Agency clinical trial import license to make sure that the medicine that is being used for clinical research is safe and has a track record that providing not only efficacy but safe to the human mankind, especially Malaysians. Number two, we have the ethics committee that looks into the protocol, the methodology of clinical research, so that one would be entering clinical research without being coerced, without being forced, but most important, liberal, at the liberty to actually, you know, withdraw from being in clinical research. And each particular subjects that in the clinical research are informed through the informed consent processes with regards to what are the risks that's going through. Of course, those who enroll in clinical research are randomized in terms of whether you are receiving an active treatment or the standard therapy. But that doesn't mean you don't get the medicine or the treatment itself. And each particular patients that were enrolled in clinical research are managed, follow up, and make sure that they are healthy. And any particular sign that shows that there is any detachment in terms of the safety of the patient, it will be dealt in a very serious matter. Because in every clinical research, there are patient safety reporting that looks even as simple as you're having fever for that particular treatment itself.
Yeah, let's talk about the vaccine, the COVID vaccine. 160 organizations are testing at the moment, or the 160 types of vaccines that are being worked on in the world. If we were, will Clinical Research Malaysia, have you been approached to carry out clinical trials in Malaysia by any one of the groups?
Let me answer you with regards to the number of vaccine trials that is going on at the moment. There are 239 Ooh. Vaccines candidate that is okay. being researched at.
Right.
There are 40 candidates which is in the human clinical trials, and only 9 are in the late phase of clinical research, which is called phase 3. And out of these, you know, we may be able to have some results by November or quarter 4 for that matter. But having said that, each particular projects are dealt with looking not only for the efficacy of the vaccine itself, but also safety, which is very important. And to make sure that these things are happen, there are independent body that looks into the safety and efficacy of the clinical trials to see whether the subject or the patients that are enrolled in clinical research are safe. And of course, this will mean that it will be a safe vaccine for the rest of the people in the world.
You know, it's interesting that if these clinical trials are done, say, in Oxford, for an example, or in Russia, for an example, will that necessarily be the same as if we were to do clinical trials in Malaysia?
Well, I don't think it's much different because we all abide to good clinical practice. And this is international clinical harmonization that is agreed upon in the WHO or Geneva for that matter. And it is making sure that all the clinical research are being done in due of fairness in terms of science and not to be, taking an advantage in terms of the vulnerable groups of people.
Okay. And why is it from a public health perspective? Tell us why clinical research is so important for Malaysia to get involved with?
Well, I think...
Why can't we just allow other people to be the guinea pigs and then when it all works and it's all wonderful, then we'll take it in.
Before I answer your question, let's put it this way. All the patients in the clinical research are not treated like any what you have said earlier. They are treated with respect and they are treated in terms of the safety as well as the well-being of one subject. Whether they have a disease or they are volunteers, they are treated in the highest, utmost ethics for that matter. That's why we go through the ethics committee. Now, back to your questions, which actually looking into the...
So why should Malaysia get involved?
The thing is that...
Why is it so important?
It is important because in Malaysia, we need to be involved in terms of world science development. And in terms of world science development, in terms of new method, new treatment, new medicine, clinical research is the way to move forward. As I explained to you earlier, for oncology, for that matter, if you are in a situation where there is no other standard therapy that's available, clinical research would be the way to move forward. And the beauty part is that Malaysia has all the infrastructure. Our population has a heterogeneous population with multiracial. I can say that one-third of world genomics sits and lives in Malaysia. That is a great number of data. And of course, we have the infrastructure laid out by Clinical Research Malaysia and Ministry of Health to make sure that clinical research are being conducted in a very efficient manner through speed, reliability and quality.
Let's talk about the dengue vaccine. Now, we did clinical trials here in Malaysia for the dengue vaccine as well. And we know the dengue vaccine has run into some sort of issues. I think it was 2 years ago or so. Tell me about that process. How did we carry out the clinical trials here in Malaysia for the dengue vaccine? And what were the findings? And we did not take on the vaccine in the end. We, even before these issues, Ministry of Health in Malaysia decided not to take on the vaccine as yet. Can you share with me that experience?
I think firstly, when we conducted clinical research, it is going through the same process. So dengue clinical research, vaccine clinical research goes into the same process. What we learn from here is that there are four things. One, we need to understand what are the vaccine coverage is like. Whether they are coverage the same strain that we have in Malaysia, we call it serotype and so on. Number two, what are the number of doses that need to be given to patients before we get the optimum of immunity? And when we get that immunity, how long does the immunity last? Of course, the last would be how many number of people that we need to vaccinate and so on. It all boils down to data, 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 which means we need to understand what are the efficacy of the vaccine itself. We need to understand what is the safety of the vaccine. If one vaccine could not cover all these four questions, then there are a lot of questions to be answered and a lot of things that need to be considered. And like what we say in our, what do you call that, in the learned person. If you are not sure, leave it.
Mm-hmm. Which is was the case with the dengue vaccine in the end, for Malaysia at least.
I presume so. Yeah. And I know, I mean, this is the decision of the high, official in the Ministry of Health. And they make that decision based on the data that they have seen.
And is it complex to conduct clinical research?
Well, it's not that complex. But
how would you do it, just very quickly, for us, for our benefit?
As I said earlier, it is highly regulated. It needs to go through the two bodies that actually regulates clinical research, whether it is for medicines or medical device, any biotech new compound for that matter. It goes through the National Pharmaceutical Regulatory Agency to make sure that all the process, all the data are safe and efficacious, and it shows what it needs to be done. The same thing in terms of protocol, it goes back to the ethics committee to make sure that it is protecting the patient's interests. But all this data comes from a very strict regulated preclinical data that is compiled together with other phase 1 and phase 2 data if we are doing a phase 3 studies. And all this data needs to be sound and proven to be giving the right efficacy and safety as what has been claimed to be.
So if we were to go into clinical trials for a new COVID vaccine, for an example, we would be coming in the third phase?
We are.
We would come in the third phase.
Although we have centres that is ready for first in human, we are very good at phase 3 studies. We've done at least 14 vaccine studies in the past, and inclusive of the dengue vaccines. And we've done it with flying colours, meaning with speed, reliability and quality.
So phase 3 is pretty much testing it on people?
Yes, in a big number of population, not only in Malaysia, but also multi-centres, multinational studies. And it involves nearly around 3,000 patients, depending on what the hypothesis of the clinical research is.
What is phase 2? What does that entail?
Phase 2, looking into a smaller scale number of patients, looking into those patients with the disease itself to show whether the hypothesis really works. Right. If it is hypertension, whether the medicine, new medicine really reduced the blood pressure. For vaccine, for that matter, it shows that it must show some seroconversion, immunity is produced and so on.
In phase 1?
Phase 1 usually is a first in human, meaning you are bringing the compound from animal to human being with the right dosage calculation. This is where clinical pharmacology is very important to calculate the dose, whether it's correct for the human mankind. And usually there are few number of doses that is looking at, and then whether what is the best tolerable and also the best efficacy. And if we fail to show that, then it won't advance to phase 2, phase 3, and so on.
Okay, so we'll come back and find out if you want to get involved in a vaccine trial for COVID, for an example, how do you do that? If you have a question for Dr. Akmal Yusof, CEO of Clinical Research Malaysia, text us 018-789-8899 or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sevasodi. In the studio with me, Dr. Akmal Yusof, CEO of Clinical Research Malaysia. We're discussing, does Malaysia encourage clinical research? We actually have been involved in clinical trials, clinical research. As Dr. Akmal said, it's a term that's used interchangeably. It doesn't mean that it's two very different things. We have been involved in the dengue trials, in the hepatitis C trials, I remember, because we brought in generic medicine, am I correct? And now because of the success of that, we now have hepatitis C medication for free for patients who are positive, Hep C positive. And it's brought down the cost of actually getting or benefiting from this medication. And so we've been discussing about the complexity of conducting clinical research in Malaysia. We usually get involved in phase 3 of the trials, which is in testing in patients. Dr. Akmal clearly told me over the break that I should never be saying that we're guinea pigs. We are not guinea pigs in clinical clinical trials. This is for the future of mankind, isn't it? And our protection when it comes to medications and treatment. So let's talk about the vaccine. Have you been approached by any organization to carry out clinical trials in Malaysia?
One of the things that Clinical Research Malaysia does is to provide as much as support to the Ministry of Health in terms of the what are the vaccines out there. And we proactively approach some of these companies. But we also work together with Ministry of Health in the science diplomacy that is led by the MOSTI, Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation, and Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And with that, we have managed to speak not only people in the US, but we have already spoken to people in the UK, universities, international organization, companies in China and also Russia as well. So yes, we have been speaking to them and understanding what do they have on their plates with regards to the vaccine development.
Any one of them close to, you actually carrying out clinical trials in Malaysia?
Like I said earlier, there are nine compounds in the clinical research phase 3. We're trying to get some of them to come to Malaysia. There are some obstacles. I think in terms of getting the studies in Malaysia, they are looking at countries with high infective rate, with high volume of patients. And I think we've done well in Malaysia in terms of containing COVID-19. There are good results to see here, but it's not good enough in terms of getting clinical research like phase 3 to come to Malaysia.
Okay, because we don't have the numbers. Yeah,
precisely.
I don't know which is worse, but no, I think we're happy where we are right now.
I think the Minister
control.
Of Health has done a fantastic
Absolutely
job. The public health system in the country does work to contain disease like COVID-19.
Absolutely. I cannot say how grateful and proud I am at how we have managed this, honestly.
Precisely. I mean, it's if you drive through in Kuala Lumpur, it's like any other day. And, shops are open, people are doing business, and that's what we want with the new normality, even though there are some things that we need to be alert of, like wearing masks, keep distance in the crowded area. But most important thing is to adhere to what Ministry of Health is advising.
Yeah. So what will be the next steps? How will you get people in? If we are used for clinical research, how will you get people to get involved in the trials? Because this is not somebody who's a cancer patient, for an example. These are people whom, you know, you would want to test on, ordinary people.
We are currently receiving some people who write directly to Ministry of Health, to us, and we are collecting the data and numbers. We can't raise the hope that we will get a clinical research for vaccine, COVID vaccine for that matter. But what we can tell all the members of the public, your listeners, is that we are working very hard to convince this company to come to Malaysia and do phase 3 studies. Or even if for those companies who has that extra urge in terms of new development, Malaysia has already have a center that is accredited for phase 1 early, first in human, which is situated in Sarawak Clinical Research Center.
Okay. And how will that benefit us? If we were to do clinical trials here for a COVID vaccine, how will that benefit us?
We see clinical research as an avenue and tools to be able to learn and develop ourselves in terms of the new technology. Our doctors will be learning new clinical skills, new compound, but most of all, our patient will be able to involved in getting new compound, new medicines for the disease itself in terms of access. These are what we call as intangible benefit, and putting our doctors in the limelight in terms of the drug discovery and putting them in the face of the clinical research publication for that matter. And that is an international platform to put in not only the doctors itself, but Malaysia as a research country.
There's very little research coming out of this region. Would you agree with me?
Well, I can't say yes to that. There are some good works that is happening, for instance, like malaria for that matter, where we are, we have world-renowned experts in Malaysia, and we have also people who has been involved in dengue for that matter. What I'm saying is that there are more works that can be done. There are more things that can be discovered, and take oncology for that matter. It is a new subject, and it's the most, before COVID-19, the most research area in the world. Every year, we receive around nearly 20 clinical research from oncology, from every corners of the world. And they usually make up around the majority of the sponsored research in the country. They also give in a good revenue in terms of the clinical research value for that matter, creating more jobs for people. I'm very proud to say that we have been delivering these studies with a purpose of speed, reliability and quality.
You're right. I mean, and also just tapping on the gene pool in this region to see how we take to new discoveries in medicines and all of that is extremely important, because a lot of times we depend on trials that have been done on the West, but it's a very different gene pool. Would you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because if you look at the population of the world, it's because of the travel, migration, every country now need that data. And isn't it nice to have these studies to be conducted in a country where a third of world genomics sits here? And it doesn't mean that we are, lacking of data from other, groups of population in the world. But at least this data is speaking about two-thirds of world population, meaning 2 billion people, which is sitting in China, in India, and all these data can be obtained in Malaysia.
Yeah. What are some of your challenges at Clinical Research Malaysia?
I think the biggest challenge is what we call as how we want to make sure that we can deliver the clinical research in speed, reliability, and quality. I speak earlier that we can reduce the study timeline to 150 days. There are ways that we can reduce it even further to 120 days for that matter. And that can bring more studies to Malaysia and make Malaysia as a center for sponsored research. Number two, I think we need to make sure that we look into clinical research as a form of investment. And investment meaning that those company that comes to do clinical research put in investment in it. And we need to recognize that as a part of the incentive that we can return back to these companies. I think this is some work from to do with MIDA and so on. But having said that, I think there have been studies been done in Australia and so on, and that actually brings in more research in the country. I also think that there are things that we can do better in terms of the studies that we receive. We receive a lot of oncology studies. Maybe it's time to increase the number of oncologists in the country. And that helps a lot, because if you look at the data currently, one of the highest number of non-communicable disease death is cancer in the country. Last thing is about how we want to make sure that data is important in terms of having all these health data together. Registry of the disease needs to be updated. And all these can help us to actually attract more studies in the world, as well as, electronic medical record and so on. There are a lot of work being done on that basis. I'm proud of what is happening. These are the great things that can help us to bring more clinical research in the country.
If you say one third of the world's genomics sits in Malaysia, why is it we're not attracting more clinical trials?
I think it's coming. We are growing by 12% in the region. The whole region is growing at 14.8%. I believe that is based on a very small base. But for us, I think in terms of the number of studies, we are maintaining very well. We are attracting all the high-quality oncology studies, the infection study, and these are studies that can help the population of the country and reduce some of the burden of the country.
And so there needs to be public-private partnerships. Do you think we should see more of that?
Yes, I believe it is, because we can't work on our own. The cost for the health is getting higher and higher. The medical inflation is huge, 12% per year, and it's not easy to catch up. And the other way to look at it is clinical research.
Okay. What do we need to do to attract more multinational pharma companies to look to Malaysia?
I think, like I said earlier, speed, reliability and quality. We need to build up speed, cut down all the unnecessary times. We've done our part in terms of reducing the legal review, for that matter, from months to weeks. We have reduced the time in terms of getting the right doctors for the clinical research, reduced the whole time to do conduct research from 300 days to 150 days. I think this is commendable. There are things need to be done to reduce it further. Number two, quality. Clinical Research Malaysia is now ISO 9001:2015 accredited. That means all standard operating procedures to conduct clinical research from HQ to Perlis, Sabah are the same. So this is what the multinational company likes. Number three, I think it's important that we are reliable. Reliable in terms of delivery, the number of studies, the patients that needs to be conducted, to be enrolled in clinical research. If we say 10, that means we have to give 10. I'm glad to see that we are 83% in terms of our reliability of number of patients enrolled in clinical research. This is good, but there's still room to improve.
Okay, fantastic. Would you have a message for us on clinical trials here in Malaysia?
I think the biggest message I like to tell the audience, the viewers, the listeners, is that clinical research should be treated as part of treatment. It should not be seen and be misunderstood. It's being regulated very well, and it is something that can give the benefits to the people and mankind.
How do we get in touch?
We have a website. Clinical Research is located at www.clinicalresearch.my. Please visit our website. We have areas where you can understand what are the clinical research going on in the country. You can also register as volunteers to be part of the clinical research. You may not be able to be selected in clinical research. The most important thing, you know, there's some work going on that can help clinical research flourish in the country.
Provided you meet the criteria to be a part of the research.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us today. Dr. Ahmal Yusof, CEO of Clinical Research Malaysia, speaking to us about Malaysia and how we can encourage more clinical research on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.